Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, it's so glad to be with you once again, and I want to recognize new countries and where we have listeners. And I have a list here of all the people that have called, and we have had nearly 3,755 folks check the website. And this is from almost every country in the world, and that's amazing to me. But God, I believe, raised this program up so that we could get the message of the Word of God out there, that we have God's Word, and that where it is. The program is called Where is God's Word? And I was thinking as we come in, the Bible says in the book of Jude, it says that we are to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. It's the faith that God delivered to the saints, that is the apostles and the Christians of the first century. And we are to contend for that faith. It is not to be changed. And you study church history, you can see how individuals came in and they gave their own opinions about things. And so today, tradition in religion is man's opinions added to what God has said. But Jude, who is a brother of Jesus, said this. He said, we should earnestly contend, I mean, with all of our energy for the faith once delivered. The Bible says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. So that's why we have this program. I want to say that we have with us today Brother Marvin Bassinger, and he teaches Sunday school in Columbia Road Baptist Church and does a good job. And then Pastor Al Davis, Richfield Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and he does a good job. And he's going to give us a report on science. And then my name is Bruce Musselman, and our program is Where is God's Word? And we're saying, we have the very words of God today with us in the Authorized King James Bible, and people from around the world have it in translations that line up with the King James Bible. And we'll be talking more about this in the program. For instance, when the King James came out, it was based on ancient translations that came out. The Italic Text 200, the Syriac Peshitta came out by about 350, the Anglo-Saxon. Other translations that came out that had the pure words of God, and the King James translators used these translations and based their translation on those translations. They call it the received text. It's the text that came from the apostles, and God said he would preserve his words, and we have that today in the King James, and that's why we have this program. But first of all, I'd like to have a report from Brother Davis, and he can give his announcements for his program in church, too.
Well, thank you, Bruce. It's good to be with you again this week. And, Pastor Al Davis and pastor of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. We meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, and we have a program, actually two programs here on the same station, 1220 AM WHKW. And that would be Friday afternoon from 1:30 until 2, as well as Sunday nights from 11 o'clock until midnight. Both of those are live programs featuring people's calls with their questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And I've got something here actually for our science segment today. I actually had one of our listeners sent in a question about a passage in Psalm 148. And before I get to that, I also want to mention all of these things can be found at Bruce's website for his program at whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com. And you can find MP3 files of all of Bruce's programs there. And but our question this week is Psalm 148, verse 4. The Bible says, praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. And our listener asked a question. Our listener, her name's Liz, asked a question, and she said that she was reading through the Psalms, And she saw this, and she had a link to an article that she read where she had Googled the term water in space, and she wanted to know if she was on the right page or wrong page in regards to this. And this article that she sent me was headlined, "Scientists Discover the Oldest, Largest Body of Water in Existence in Space." And I'll just gloss through this real quick. This is what she was asking about. Could this be the waters above? This reservoir of water that they found out in space is surrounding a black hole. And without getting into all the details on how they found it, they said that this water that they found, a reservoir, is so large that it could provide a water for every person on Earth, an entire planet's worth of water 20,000 times over. That's, in other words, if you took all the water that's in the entire world and you multiplied that by the population of the planet, which I think is, what, some 7 billion people, and another 20,000 times over to get to the amount of water that they found here. And this is, I guess the NASA news release estimated 140 trillion times all the water in all of the Earth's oceans. And just an absolutely mind-numbing volume of water. And another way of looking at it is if you calculated all the water that they believe may be on one estimate inside of the Milky Way galaxy, that would be 28 times that amount. However it is, that's a big number, isn't it? It's a lot of water, a lot more water than we'll ever need. But the idea with this, the question is, our listener Liz asked the question, could this be what the Bible is referring to here in Psalm 148 when it says here in verse 4, "Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens." And this would certainly be above our heaven, wouldn't it?
It sure would.
And Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 2, I believe he's talking about himself, but he said, "I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth, such an one caught up to the third heaven." And that gives us the third heaven being where God is, the spiritual realm. And then the other two heavens would be the Earth's atmosphere, would be the first heaven. The second heaven would be space. And that's where this one would be, way out in space. Now, this is inside of space, which would be inside of the second heaven. So it really wouldn't be above the heaven of the heavens. And there's some indication that that term heaven of the heavens would indicate space rather than where God is. In fact, in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 27 says, "But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, how much less this house that I have builded." And that's what Solomon's talking about when he's going to dedicate the new temple. And he's talking about the earth and all that surrounds the earth, which would be the first heaven, the atmosphere, and the heaven of heavens, which would be outer space. See, a lot of people think that the universe contains God, but the universe is actually contained within God. And so I did a little look into this and trying to find out the heaven of the heavens here and what exactly we might make it out to be. And C.H. Spurgeon, Charles Spurgeon, probably one of the best-known preachers of the 1800s, one of the best-known preachers since the Apostle Paul, he had made some comments on this. And in his comments, he said that the ancients believed that the universe, basically, was surrounded by a large ocean, which is kind of interesting. And some commentators believe that when God created the universe, that the heavens above that we read about over in the Genesis account of creation, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 7, God made the firmament, divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And, you know, of course, we have the clouds in the sky, but some people believe that the actual universe that God created is surrounded by some kind of a watery shell. And when I do these things, I have all these papers in front of me, and I got to kind of sum up some things to make this kind of quick here. But I saw something that made a little diagram, and they suggested that the waters above the firmament, which would be the water the waters that be above the heavens would be kind of a boundary or a container that the entire universe is contained within. And they made a very interesting, I guess you could call it conjecture, but in Revelation chapter 4, when John is caught up into heaven before the throne of God, the Bible says there was a sea of glass in Revelation 4, verse 6, like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne, round about the throne, were four beasts full of eyes before and behind it. And this particular commentator speculated that that sea of glass, like crystal, would be like an icy shell of water that perhaps contained the entire universe. If you could imagine the picture, and I'm not saying that this is so, but it's interesting to think about, God sitting on his throne and at his feet, this crystalline sea of glass containing the entire universe that we know. That's kind of interesting to speculate about, isn't it?
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And it kind of makes you understand then a little bit when he says here in Psalm 148, verse 4, "Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens." And I think that would entail all of that which is within the created universe, as well as that which is around the throne of God, there looking, if indeed this commentator is correct, that that sea of crystal, that crystalline sea, is the watery ice shell that surrounds the universe, and all the angels that you see pictured in Revelation chapter 4 that are praising God. I think it's a good thing to think about.
We used to sing that song, "I Won't Have to Cross Jordan Alone." Do you think it's talking about going through that, you know, massive amount of water?
That's an interesting thought, because we see that quite a bit, don't we? On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wistful eye. And we talk about going through the waters, and remember Bunyan in his great book, Pilgrim's Progress. Remember, before they went into the celestial city, they crossed the river. And if you think of the picture of going from the wilderness into the promised land, they had to cross the Jordan, didn't they? And you could even look at the idea that in order to leave Egypt, they had to cross the Red Sea. So we have this picture of crossing a sea, don't we? Somebody also observed that if you think of the temple, they had the big sea. Remember that Solomon put on the 12 oxen made of brass, and there was the large sea that we talked about in one of these science segments. And you had to offer up the sacrifice, and then you had to pass by the sea before you could go into the temple, the holy place of the temple. And then beyond that, of course, the Holy of Holies. So you do have this interesting symbology throughout the Bible of crossing through the water to get to where God is.
Yeah, I remember that song. It says, "I won't have to cross Jordan alone. Jesus died all my sins to atone. The darkness I see, he'll be waiting for me. I won't have to cross Jordan alone." So maybe that's what that was talking about. But when that time comes to go to our the gold city where God is, why, Jesus will be there. When we close our eyes on this side, we'll be we'll go through that maybe body of water and be there with the Lord. Well, it's so good over here. We're celebrating Thanksgiving, and we have a lot to be thankful for. If we're saved, we have something to be thankful for. And no matter what our situation is now, the Bible says, "Absent from the body, present with the Lord." And God says everybody can know that. I want to read from 1 Corinthians, because this chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 deals with a subject we talk about a lot, and it is very encouraging and comforting. It says, "Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother." Now, Paul was an apostle. He was to be an apostle, you had to see Jesus personally, and you had to be able to do the apostolic signs and wonders. "Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus." And that sanctified means to set apart to God. You know what I tell Muslims in our neighborhood where I live? I tell them, I say, you know what it's all about? It's God just wants to get a family together. And when we put our faith in Jesus, our sins are forgiven. Jesus was punished for our sins. And we become a member of God's family, his everlasting family. So sanctified means we're set apart to Christ. We're part of God's family. Called to be saints, and every saved person is a saint. If you have trusted Christ, you believe he died for your sins and rose from the dead, then you are a saint. With all that in every place, call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and yours. And I was just thinking, you know, Brother Al just handed me a list, and we keep a record of places where we get calls from. And here's some, this last week or so, we got calls from the following places. This is about the first time they called to us. So we want to welcome these countries. Ecuador called, Egypt, Honduras, Indonesia. And let me see here. I think we have Peru, Portugal, Slovak, let's see, South Africa. Well, we've been beaming out of South Africa on the shortwave radio for a long time now. We're on the Voice of Africa, beamed out of South Africa, covering most of Africa, and that's been on for quite a while. And we've got a lot of letters from there, and we appreciate that. Let's see here. We have Trinidad and Tobago. Hope I'm pronouncing all these things right. Let's see. We have here the United Arab Emirates, and it says here a new country. So those are some of the new countries. And we just also, just a few weeks ago, we had listeners from Iran and Iraq. And so we're glad for, and this is saints of God all over the world that are listening. And you pray for us and pray for the other folks, because Satan is fighting against us. But Paul, who had the devil fight on against him all the time, he said, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us, Jesus Christ. And see, we said that what it's all about is that God has a family, and he loves every member of his family. We're not just a number, we're a name, and he knows our name. Jesus says he knows the hairs on our head, how many hairs we have on our head. And some of us have more and some of us have less, but whatever it is, he knows, and he knows our name, and he loves us. Now, it says here, as we continue, 1 Corinthians 1, which unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Now, church is an organized body of saved and baptized believers with pastors and deacons and so on. And it's not just invisible. It's a visible organism. It's a living organism. And Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And he is a head through his word, the Bible. And it mentions here calling him Lord. How is he our Lord? That means he's in charge. He's the boss. He has the authority because he's creator and he's almighty God. Now, how is he our Lord? Well, he's our Lord through the Bible. And he said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And it's so important that we get the right words. That's why we have this program. We have his words today. Now, the Bible says that we can look at the perfect law of liberty. The Bible that I have in front of me is called the Perfect Law of Liberty, and it's called the King James Bible. And how do we know it's God's word? Well, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and a stranger they will not follow. So since this one came out in 1611, generation after generation, it renews itself. And 200 other translations come out because the Lord says, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and a stranger will they not follow. And the other ones all disappear. With a lot of advertising recently, a corrupt counterfeit Bible, the NIV, New International Version. And by the way, we give out a book. It shows the hundreds and, in fact, thousands of corruptions in these versions. It's called New Age Bible Versions. I want to make sure that I mention that. You can get that, look it up on the internet, or look it up on our website. But they all disappear. And the NIV, with a lot of advertising, sold about 220,000 copies. The King James Bible, which God's sheep, to this day, all the evidence is that God's people read the King James more than all the rest of them get put together. And 5 billion copies have been distributed. The NIV had 220,000 copies. The King James has had 5 billion. We have to have the Word of God today. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them. And that Bible is based on a text that's come down to us from the apostles. You say, well, where is it? I mentioned it already. It's in the old Anglo-Saxon manuscripts. It was in the Syriac Peshitta manuscripts. It was in the Koine Greek manuscripts. It was in the Italic Old Latin manuscripts. And when the King James translators, it's called the Received Text, and they based it on those translations. They had them on the table, and the King James agrees with those. So ever since they were put out, God's people have had them. There's hundreds of these ancient Bibles in museums in Europe that line up with the authorized King James Bibles. Now, the modern ones come from Constantine's Bible, and he put out some, and we have about 2 of them, Vaticanus, Sinaiticus, and everybody that copied them corrupted them. And those 2 Bibles, they call it the eclectic text. That is, they disagree with each other 3,000 words in the Gospels alone. But we have God's Word. God, Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away. My word shall not pass away. Now let's read verse 3. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, without Christ, there's no peace in a person's heart. And many people have come to Christ because they realize something is wrong with their religion. And most false religions made up by man, it's a matter of your good deeds outweighing the bad. But God demands absolute perfection. One sin would damn us. But we have peace with God through Jesus. Jesus died for our sins. He said, it is finished. He has paid the price for all of our sin. Therefore, we will meet God without any record that we have ever sinned if we put our faith in Jesus Christ. Now, it says here, this peace comes from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God, which is given to you by Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible says, by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Grace is defined as a gift. You don't have to go to the Greek or Hebrew to find out what it means. It's defined. You know, they always say you can't understand the King James. Well, you're not reading it enough, or else you're not saved. If you're born again and you read it, it defines itself. Grace is defined as a gift in Ephesians 2:8-9. And grace, God's grace comes on you through Jesus Christ. He paid our sins. That in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance and all knowledge. Then as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, he may come back any time, who shall confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to tell you, on Thanksgiving, and if we celebrate that, there is the verse to celebrate it on, because it says we will be blameless when we see Christ. The day of Christ is the rapture when he comes for us. He said, if I go away, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, and on that day we'll be blameless. Well, I know that I've sinned, but God says that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. When I put my faith in him, I will meet God without any record that I've ever sinned with exceeding joy. Now, who is going to keep me? Am I going to keep myself when I get saved? No. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no different divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind, in the same judgment. It says we are to all speak the same thing. How can we do that with different Bibles that disagree? These Bibles disagree in thousands of places, the counterfeits. And usually they take out Jesus in 100 places, plus taking out all kinds of verses, adding all kinds of things, defining words in a corrupt way. We're to speak the same thing. That means we're to use the same Bible. The Bible that is based on the manuscripts that have come down to us from the Lord Jesus Christ and the apostles. We have it today in the Authorized King James Bible. The Bible says, "In thy word do I trust." Well, God bless you, and you'll get
you
a blessing by reading that Bible.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantua Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantua Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.